I hope everybody who's watching had a wonderful holiday season.
Yeah.
And you survived all of your parents and in-laws and cousins and aunts and uncles who you hope to not see again till next Christmas. But we hope you had a fun Christmas.
Of course you did.
Of course you did.
Of course.
And if you didn't, there's still New Year's. It's coming.
Yeah. It's my favorite holiday. Just a reminder.
That's right. What? That's so weird.
That is weird. Why? But why?
There's no presents. There's no monetary pressure. And there's no family. That's not recorded, is it?
See, and I'd rather have, like, monetary pressures. The pressure for New Year's for me is, like, you have to stay up. I'm like, it's 9 o'clock. I'm fucking tired. I'm going to bed. Yeah.
This year we'll be traveling on New Year's.
I'll just get the stink eye.
Yeah.
Dude, I haven't made it up for New Year's in years.
Well, and then so Netflix does those things now. You can just click the... So if you have kids who don't want to stay up,
it's the best.
All those different versions of the countdown, you just... Oh, it must be time. Start the countdown.
Oh. Yeah, it's like, oh, kids, it's almost midnight, and it's like 9 o'clock. It's like, come on, countdown time.
That's fun.
Oh, I'm so tired. Like, we even played up. We're like, oh, I'm so tired. I can't believe you guys stayed up this late. And they're like, yeah, I'm really tired. I can't believe I made it all the way to midnight.
I apologize beforehand because I have no one monitoring my cats, so they are in here.
That's fine. That's fine.
Meow.
That's fine. Totally fine.
It's adorable.
The more the merrier. You know, fuzzy friends are friends too.
She's the end of the show.
That is true. And we love her for it.
Mm-hmm.
So
Mr. Host, do you wanna do your hosty?
Yeah, I'm gonna host the shit out of this. Today. We got kind of a loosey goosey dad bod. Podcast for you. We're going to talk about 2018, some things we loved, some things we remembered. We're going to talk about 2019, some things that we hope to see. Both, we might dig into some personal goals, but it'll be D&D based for sure. So to start off, just as a dad bod D&D, I think we should kind of recap what happened for Dad Bod D&D as a whole.
Yay!
I'll start with Bob, since you're kind of the father of all us here at Dad Bod D&D.
So I think this really started last year, early last year, with we all played D&D together, and then it's like, I think I might want to stream this. So I used to stream Let's Plays and be like, ooh, hey, look at me play video games. And then it kind of morphed into this thing. We've had a few different cast members over the year, I would say. So we've dropped three, unfortunately, but we've gained one.
I equal three. Okay.
Yeah, do the math, guys.
Yeah. Do that math. And so, I mean, the evolution of Billy Zed to Dad Bod has been phenomenal, first off. And I think we've really, in these last 2 months, have hit our stride as a group of, you know, we're hitting it on different facets, social media, we're hitting it on Twitch, we're hitting it all over the place. And it's just crazy to me to see that, hey, people want to come watch us. We have regulars that come and watch us. And so I think that for me is the best part of 2018 in doing this is the fact that what we put out, people like enough to come back and watch. And that's surreal to me.
Yeah, it's nice. Yeah, I think same thing on my end. On top of everything you said, it's also kind of cultivating and creating some friendships that I wouldn't have had otherwise, like everybody sitting at this table right now, plus Travis and Theo, creating those friendships with people that I've never met before. And I've never had that before in my life, those weird not weird, but those like, I'm writing a letter with my pen pal, you know, those kind of relationships. So having a true friendship with people that I've never met in person before, that's kind of interesting. And it's been a cool thing in my life. And I actually did get to meet Travis this year while we were, my wife and I were celebrating our anniversary, going out to his neck of the woods.
Kinky.
Invited Travis along. That's how we do. But it was cool meeting him after being on sharing video calls like this for so long, and then finally getting to meet him is a pretty cool a moment for me.
The thing that was the most exciting, I think, thing that we did this year was the giveaway we did in December. Through that entire process, I'll admit I'm a bit of a pessimist. I did not think we were going to pull this off. Like, I didn't, from the time the email was sent, just in the back of my head, I'm like, cool, like, good try, like, and we'll learn from it, but nothing's going to come of it. And then every step along the way, it just seemed like it just kept clicking and working, you know, like, cool, we actually got a product to give away sponsored, you know, by a company, you know, and then we set goals of like, we want this to happen on the stream to give the giveaway. And it actually happened. Like, I was just shocked and appalled at it. And so for me, that was amazing. And just beyond my wildest beliefs, like, quite literally, I just, to see that we were able to, like, make that happen and actually market and get, you know, 20 plus people. I think we hit, like, 24, 26.
Yeah.
You know, on that was amazing. It was amazing. And it was definitely like my big highlight as far as, well, this is what we did as a stream. Like, my favorite thing about the stream was that giveaway. Like, it was just amazing.
Yeah, I agree. That was pretty, again, surreal, just fun to do. But
yeah, that was always something that other people, the people who I watch, they do giveaways and stuff. You know, it's not something that we do. And then, yeah, we were able to actually do it and pull it off and put out a good product at the same time. That was probably some of the most fun I've had at a D&D table in a long time. Not saying I don't want to downplay our every Friday nights, but that was like to a new level.
Mm-hmm.
So much fun.
I feel like every Friday night though is when we're playing Tomb. It's not fun. It's stressful and it's anxiety, like,
right,
driven. And the fact that you're at such an elevated level of like, of pressure that it doesn't become fun as much as more of like a thriller or like, right. But yeah, the Christmas one shot was just all out fun nonstop.
Yeah. Yeah. Kylie, what about you? 2018.
Well, I haven't been with you guys for all that long. I mean, it's only been a couple months, but I don't know. There's so many memories already. But it was really cool coming into a group that just worked and meshed. And like, there's been zero issues and no annoyances. And everybody has those tables where it's like, oh, fuck, what am I getting into? Excuse my language. What am I getting into? And it's been like, just with every single one of you, which is so easy and fun. And so that's been huge because you get scared. You get nervous. You're not going to get along with people, or people are a bit weird. You guys aren't weird.
No, not at all.
Well, we're the good kind of weird.
Yeah, good kind of weird.
Well, I mean, we are kind of weird. So I would say we're all weird.
Yeah. It makes me excited for 2019 because it's like, oh, I think like Bob said, we're headed in a really good direction.
Mm-hmm. It's taking the year as a whole, the how we've all grown, like how the game has grown, the process in the beginning of 2018, just starting to stream the game again, and to see, like, to go back and watch those old episodes and see how we've come together as, like,
it's tough,
something that's worth watching, you know. Yeah. Like, kind of.
I recently went back and watched the first Tomb of Annihilation episode that we uploaded. It's kind of hard to watch. One, because I'm watching myself on there, and, you know, just I have a hard time doing that anyways. But just seeing myself where I am now as a player to where I was then, it's a huge step. And, you know, I'll give myself a little pat on the back. It's always a work in progress, but I'm happy with the evolution that me as a role player has taken. And it's nice to kind of have that footage to see, ooh, I wasn't that good. I thought I was doing awesome, but that's kind of cringy. And now to where I am now, still tons of room for improvement, but it's nice to see growth at least.
For me, like seeing not just like as players, but like as a product, like our video quality has gotten better. Our presentation, you know, the backgrounds and stuff that you're seeing all look slicker. Our video editing is better, or it's better. has greatly improved as we've gone along.
I mean, we're also to the point where we can make up our own words.
Yes.
No, like, see that girl? I betted her.
Better?
No, sorry.
Better. That's fun to say. I like that. Better.
Sorry.
But, excuse me. That for me has been like awesome to see. Like, you know, we started out kind of just not really knowing what of our roles were for the group, as far as like, well, I'm going to do this and you know, Chris is going to do this. And we were trying to like feel all of that out. And once we found like where people kind of fit, as far as this is what they're kind of good at, and let them kind of run that instead, because I think when we started, we did a lot of stuff around like a group decision. Like, what does everybody think about this? What about this? And now it's like, okay, this is my department. I'm going to own this. I'm going to run with it. And everybody trusts everybody to make the best possible decisions for the production values.
Yeah. And I don't want to, you know, pull back the kimono too much here. You know, nobody wants to see that, but for right. real, like putting people in specific roles has been one of the best decisions we've made. And, you know, it just creates a much better outcome. And I mean, you could, for instance, you know, Devin, you mentioned the graphics that we have. So we have our own merchandise, which, shameless promotion plug here. There can be a link here somewhere. I don't think I've posted it yet, but we have our own merchandise because of Devin dedicating what he does to the graphics. We've increased, and you know, I don't want to be like, oh, hey, we're super awesome. We're not, and we're all learning, but we've increased Twitter by fucking 400 followers in 3 months. That is crazy. And you know, we've put people in the social media aspect, and you know, Chris, you've been dedicated to video editing from day one, and as your skills progress, the quality of the video progresses. So it's so much fun to just kind of go through this process of where we started, because mm-hmm. those are very bad to where we are today, where they're getting much better. I mean, there's still things that everybody can improve on, but
of course
we're doing it, and we're seeing that outcome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm having a blast. You know, it's like during the holidays, it's been kind of tough. You know, we don't get together as much as, or on a regular basis. And I feel it. Like, I feel it in my heart when I'm like, oh, Friday, and we're not playing, you know? So I know that I just want to keep going, and I'm enjoying everything that we're doing. So it's just a ton of fun.
I think that's the biggest part too, is like, this has no negative feelings, and that's why it feels so good going out of 2018. It has been purely fun. And yeah. I think that's a goal for 2019.
Well, we've always kind of approached it as like, at the end of the day, it's still just friends playing a game. Like, mm-hmm. you know, if we stop streaming tomorrow for whatever reason, we'd still all be probably playing Dungeons and Dragons together.
Oh yeah.
Like,
can we just all retire at the same retirement home?
Yeah.
Retirement homes are going to be baller by the time we get that old. It's going to be video games and D&D and like 80s movies nonstop.
Yeah.
But,
sorry.
But yeah, that, and I think that's what's been helpful for us, is that it's, you know, we're not trying to make it big. We're just trying to have fun and maybe improve our skills at something that we like to enjoy doing at the same time. Mm-hmm. But the game has always come first. The game is always going to come first. And that's why it works. It's we're still having fun and trying to make each other laugh and make each other almost cry sometimes in game if we can. I try to do that. I really try to do that. I'm going to get it one day. I'm going to get somebody to cry. But that's what is the most fun for me is that it still is the game number one and enjoying our company as friends above everything else.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think that's a good segue unless.
No, perfect segue.
All right. Yeah. I was going to say I think we need to kind of talk about some of those favorite RP moments that either made you cry or get you on the edge of crying or that made you just laugh your ass off. And the, how I know it's a really awesome moment, either comedically or dramatically, is I'm telling that story the next day, either to my wife or to some coworkers, you know, because it's like it's solidified in my head as like a moment in my life. And I'm going to share that story. So I think we should go around the horn here and kind of share some of those favorite moments that we had, either on the comedy side or on the dramatic side or both. I was thinking about this, so I have one up. If people want more time to think, I can go first.
Please go for it.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So for me, there's two. I mean, there's a ton, but there are two that always come back to me and come back to me. One for my ability as a role player, and the one for my ability to go with a character and try to grow that character. The first one, obviously, is the whole Jeffrey and the Oni arc in our Tomb of Annihilation, and the finding Jeffrey slaughtered in the middle of the jungle was kind of a big moment for me role play wise, and it was a moment that I went for it, and that was a moment where I got a lump in my throat and I had like some tears welling up or at the corner of my eyes. I'm like, holy shit, this is happening. Keep going. Just keep going. And it was nice to have a table of players that were able to roll with that as well and just keep that moment going and not hammer it into the ground where it got overplayed, but enough that, man, this is an emotional moment and everybody's kind of feeling it. That was one of my favorite moments. But I think my favorite one, and I don't know if anybody else will remember this, it's when Binks asked Vinny to teach him to hunt. It was one morning. I can't remember if it was pre-Jeffrey or post-Jeffrey. We got to have a timeline here.
It was post.
Okay. So it was this moment where I'm like, Binks needs to... Rosara's gone. Jeffrey's murdered. Binks needs to cling on to something. Like, he's a little kid. His parents are gone. And it was this moment where I'm gonna ask Vinny if he'll teach me how to hunt, you know, like that father son kind of thing going on. And I was expecting Vinny to be that hard ass and say no, but then Vinny's like, "Come on, let's do it," you know. And then so we had this little moment, and it wasn't a very long moment. It was kind of a quick scene, but I just remember going, "All right, this is Binks is able to kind of he's gonna grow up here a little bit, and he's gonna look to Vinny for some advice," and it was a really cool moment that I enjoyed a lot.
It's funny because that was the moment when I decided that Vinny needed to start being kind of nicer to everybody and start being a little bit more part of the group instead of just being the antagonistic asshole the whole time. Because like that's a tightrope to walk, you know, because I was like, okay, how mean do I be to these people? Like, I don't want them kicking me out, you know, obviously, but at the same time, I want to stay true to what I've built for this character. And so that was a good moment for me too, but that's funny you mentioned that, because that was the exact moment. And I was like, okay, I need to find some way to bond with these people but still be able to be kind of standoffish and not in the group per se.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice. Is that your moment or do you?
No, that's my moment was actually, so I've always kind of failed at the game aspect of Dungeons & Dragons. I consider myself good at role-playing, or that's my strength, is
my character and playing the moment. But when we went to, and I'm wrong, I always mess it up. Was it Fort Vengeance? Was that the one with the crazy people?
Righteous.
Yes.
Or was it Righteous?
Righteous.
I can't.
It's the backwards. It's like Greenland and Iceland.
So Fort Righteous then, was this place that we had been told to go to, and there was, we knew that there were soldiers in there, and Vinny's had got some raw history with soldiers. And once, and at first, everything in me was telling me, don't go inside there. Like, your character can't, you won't go inside there. But we'd had such a bad time with the Oni hunting us that I was kind of like, I think Vinny's kind of desperate. He needs to go in here. And once we got in there, it was like the worst possible situation, you know? There's a movie that was very much like that. 28 Days Later. 28 days later, when they show up at the military compound and they're like, oh, we're saved. It's like, oh, no, fuck, worse. This is worse. This is really bad. And the fact that we were able to get out of that with, one, not turning into murder hobos, and two, not losing anyone, and three, doing it very cleverly, that was huge for me, because that's not what I do well in D&D. I do much better at role playing than I do at figuring out the puzzle and knowing how to get out of a situation.
Yeah.
So that was my favorite moment.
Nice. Kylie, do you have one?
Yeah. Ooh, I do. So, like, a dramatic moment that I think was my favorite was Vinny saying near the campfire. I just think that was like a huge turning point in our campaign, where it was like, oh, these characters are bonded, and you know, it feels more than just a meat grinder at that point. Yeah. I'm sorry, my cat is being obnoxious. And then comically, my favorite part was the immovable rod, when we all just were going off about the immovable rod. I still laugh about that. So those are my two favorite moments.
Yeah, I like the Vinny around the campfire. And two, I think that's it's a good testament to our table dynamics, that we can kind of be vulnerable like that. It takes a little bit. I mean, we're not actors. Speaking for myself, I guess. But to be able to, I'm going to sing here in front of everybody at this table and whoever's watching, and have that moment and create that special moment, I think is really, it was a good one. It's definitely top five for me.
I would agree. It was pretty amazing in the fact that it was like this long, drawn out campaign. You're at the edge. And it was one of those perfect role play moments that Vinny did that.
Somebody's got heavy feet.
That's my. I am so sorry, guys. Sorry. They're supposed to be in bed.
I know. I'm just like, man, what is happening? I feel like my heart's pounding.
It's the Oni.
No, but it's one of those like moments that you couldn't plan it any better. It's almost as if this were a planned moment in the campaign, but it was completely off the cuff. And just as a DM, I'm like, wow. This could not be more fitting in the fact that if I were to write a story, I would put this here every time. And it was so perfect, perfectly so well timed.
I had a great moment with Kylie's character, Willow, when we first met and we're in our first battle together, where I rolled a critical fail and had to attack the closest party member to me. So I attacked her. Her character became like very mistrusting of Vinny for a while, and I highly enjoyed that. I, as a new player, I wasn't expecting that. You know, you would think that, like, okay, that was your first game, right?
It was my first game.
Yeah, and so you're thinking, like, the new person in the group is going to try and mesh themselves with the party and I'm going to make friends with everybody. And you came out like, you know, I don't want to be alone with you. I don't want to be around you. Don't talk to me. And that really kind of like knocked me on my ass as far as a role play. Like, what do I do?
Like, because one hand, like, Vinny would probably maybe be a dick about it. But at the same time, like, I've been building up this empathy that he's kind of gained back as he's been around people. And finding that balance, it was a great moment. And it was probably, like, some of the best role-playing I saw out of anybody in the campaign. Just the fact that you were able to knock it out of the park and spin me for a loop. I had no idea. No idea that was going to go down. And had no idea how to react. So that was one of my favorite.
That was fun.
And I think, Kylie, that's what I enjoy about what you bring to the table is some of, I'll use Devin's words here, but spinning for a loop. Like, there were some times, like, in episodes 2 and 3 that you were with us, and it's like, man, she is kind of off the wall a little bit, and it was it's good for us, because I felt like, or at least I'll speak for myself, I was, like, kind of in this rut and just, like, doing the same thing over and over again. And then you came in and brought some different life into it and some different things to bounce off of each other. And I think it was perfect timing and just, like, a perfect combination. And it all just has fit so well together. And it's I'm looking forward to seeing kind of where we go, you know,
yeah,
and how we...
Yeah, I think it's cool, too, because it's, like, you guys make it easy to do that because you guys are all such good role players that it's, like, I don't know. It's just so easy to try. And I think we're going to grow together and I think it's going to be awesome. And I don't know. I think when we're not in a meat grinder too, it's going to grow.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why I'm so excited for Waterdeep.
So excited.
Like mm-hmm. you know, we have to be, we can't take a lot of chances with the current campaign because we could all die from those mistakes. Whereas in Waterdeep, we can take a calculated mistake and make our character on purpose screw something up. Because it's what the character would do and know that it might not kill us like it would in Tomb of Annihilation.
Yeah. I'm super excited, but also nervous because we're kind of building it up, you know, and as Dad Bod kind of gained some steam, I'm like, oh, man, like those expectations are I feel like they're high and I want them to be high, but it's going to be fun. I'm super excited.
I'm really excited for the new campaign too. Well, 2019, because I feel like as hard as I want to try to immerse myself into my character, it's a little bit hard because it's like, I don't want to get attached because it's going to die. Right. Whereas when we get on to the next one, I think like the immersion is going to be.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot better.
Nobody's died. All
right, Bob.
Yet. Nobody's died yet. What are you guys talking about?
Zeltry just died.
You don't know that.
I know that.
No. My favorite moment was pre-stream, I think, before we started doing any of this. And that was when Rosara died. That probably was, as a D&D player as a whole, was probably one of the first truly emotional moments where you're just, like, super invested emotionally into this game, and you're just like, man, this is kind of heartbreaking. This is, you know, earth shattering for this game because, you know, we've had characters die. Like, we had Theo's character die fucking session one.
Flinner.
and then we had another guy who was with us. He went through like 6 characters in the span of 6 sessions. So you're just like, what are you doing, dude? But Rosara,
like, 6 people died.
Yeah, it was very like
the beginning of our game. I don't think people understood the gravity of Tomb of Annihilation. And that, you know, your actions have legit consequences.
Well, they're so like, hey, we got about 2 hours to kill, let's go grind for some XP. And I'm like, okay, I got shit for you. So that was one. That was when they first met Commandants too, by the way. But Rosara was always like the pack leader. She was the den mother. She was the, she was the, you know, center of reason for the group. And she decided to lay down her life to protect the group. And it was like, okay, here we go.
Who played that character?
Devin.
Yeah.
That was the moment too where I'm okay. I was okay with losing Binks because Rosara was like his mother figure. And then as she was laying down her life, I was like, I'm not moving. Well, Binks made it out, obviously, but It was the one moment in the game where I was like, I'm okay with Binks going
that,
this way.
That was a great moment because, one, I was being so careful. Like, I perception checked around the bar to make sure there wasn't anybody who looked out of place. And we got the okay. And so we partied for a while downstairs, and Razar went upstairs to go to sleep, I think that was it. Or to check on the cat, maybe. Because you had that Princess Purrington or whatever her name was. And so I go in the room, and there's assassins waiting for us in there. And so I had to make a decision, like, you know, so you can kind of see sometimes when, like, you're going to have a chance to make a heroic stand, like, on the horizon of, like, okay, if this is where Vinny bites it, I'm okay with that. You didn't get that. It was like, oh shit. Okay. So I have to save the rest of the party. You know, and so being that caught off guard by it, that was one of my favorite GM moments. You hid that so well. It never even crossed my mind that there were people upstairs. Never once occurred to me. Like, we've been hanging out in this bar for a couple weeks now, and it was like, do I see anyone that looks like they haven't been, like they don't belong here, or I haven't seen them before? And you were like, nah, you see some regulars, you see the same drunk couple that you've seen before. So I'm like, I'm perfectly, my guard was completely down. I'm perfectly safe here. And I go in the room.
It was also like, when you met Azaka too. So, I mean, that was a pretty big point. And then the first real venture outside of Port Nine Zaro. So, I mean, it was a big step, and it was a big turning point in the game as well. It's what really drove you guys out into the jungle.
Yeah.
And I think it's what made the game realize that, like, our deaths in this game need to have more weight to them than just, oh, well, screw this guy over. Now let's make another one, you know?
Yeah.
And it became like, oh, okay, maybe we really need to think about what we're doing instead of just throwing 1,000 characters at this game.
Yeah, because there was a moment where those, like, the Flinyes of the group were like, oh, it's kind of funny and cute, you know, we lost a guy, ha ha ha. But then when Rosara goes down, someone who had been with us from the beginning, it's like, man, that's kind of a big hit. Because my character, especially my character, was clinging on to Rosara, and like to have that gone now, it did bring some expectations there.
It makes me nervous. The point where we're at today.
Oh, God.
You guys are on level 2 of the tomb, and we have long characters now that. It makes me nervous if one of you dies. Even, you know, Victon has been here from pretty close to the start.
Yeah.
Binks has been here from the start. Even if Willow were to die, it's characters in the game that I've associated. These characters are Tomb of Annihilation players. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine it with somebody else. And so as a DM, it's tough because there's some life and death shit that you're going to see. And where we left off in our last game was Zelstree was thrown down the middle of a shaft five floors, and each floor is 45 feet. And it's like, this is the type of quick death shit you can see. And it's just like, oh man, and you guys haven't even rested yet. So
I have always fallen in love with my next character. Like, oh, guys, check this out. I know I've got this good character now, but my next character, you're going to really love them. And I've kind of lost that. Like, it's going to be really hard for me to replace Vinny when it happens. This is the first campaign I've been where I had a character last a long, long ass time. And I'm going to be really upset if he bites it. Really upset. And I agree with Bob. It won't feel like Tomb of Annihilation again if we lose any of our current characters. It'll be like, okay, well, it's going to feel like starting over instead of completing it. Like, I'm really, really hoping that all of our players can make their current characters to the end of the game. I think that would be like, that for me would be like beating the video game, right? Yeah, like hell, yeah, we did it.
Yeah.
We took this shit seriously. We all watched each other's backs, and we all made it.
Yeah.
And That's my biggest.
Yeah, I want that so much, but I do know that if one of us goes down, we're gonna have a pretty cool RP moment, and it'll be emotional either way. I don't want it. Like, I want it. I want everybody to go to the end. And
I mean, if we could spare anybody, it would be Victon. I kid. He's not here. I kid.
Speaking of Victon, I do have like a honorable mention RP moment, and this was pre-stream as well. When and it's one I wish we could share the footage. Oh my God! It was Victon sitting on the ledge of at the northern tip of Cholt. Talking Port to Nianzaro. A crazy fisherman. Oh yeah, at Port Nianzaro, talking to a crazy fisherman, and Travis, who was playing Victon, who is playing Victon, was pretty new, like this,
second game,
and Bob put him in this situation, a one-on-one where everybody else was doing something. I forgot what we were doing, but it was just a one-on-one role play moment with Victon and this crazy fisherman, and Travis handled it like a champ, man. It was so fun. I wish we had it.
Yeah, it was one of those things. It's like when you get into a conversation with somebody that you really just want to try and leave. He kept trying to leave, but you just keep bringing him back in.
Yeah,
it lasted for like 30 minutes, and it was the weirdest shit awesome. I've ever seen. It was some guy talking about his kid's haircut or something. It was just like, let's do this.
So I do have to ask, is that an actual character in the module, or is that someone you made up?
That's somebody I made up.
Perfect. It was a great moment.
So I know we're getting probably close to time. Can we talk about what we're looking forward to in 2019? I don't know if that was on the list.
Oh, it's on the list, and we need to. Yeah.
2019. Yeah. Oh, sure. Yeah.
So I think I am most excited to have Kylie DM a one shot. I think that's what I'm most looking forward to in 2019.
Ooh, I love that.
What? No, I love seeing how the different styles of everybody's DMing, and that. So I'm very excited for that. I know that would be coming up in, you know, the first half sometime of 2019, hopefully. But I'm super excited for that. I'm super excited to hopefully get everybody on some more one-shots after we finish Tomb of Annihilation, give everybody some chances to DM some bullshit games and have some fun. I know Bob is talking about DMing his first one-shot as well. Maybe.
I want to.